Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
First Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 in the series entitled Momentum. Peter has some incredible things to say to the church that I'm excited to share with you today. First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For as the scriptures say, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different to begin this morning, and I need a volunteer. Richard, you had your hand up first. Come on up here. And you have a seat right here. We're going to play this little tumbling game. Yes, its popular name is Jenga. Brand new game, right out of the box, so it's not been manipulated or changed in any way. Excited?
Oh, I am. Yeah. Can you see me trembling?
Yeah, I see the excitement just bursting. Okay, good. Have you played this before?
I don't believe I have.
If I have, it's been a long time, so I'm not really sure. Well, this is called the Tumbling Tower Game. Here, Richard, read the directions. They're right there, the instructions.
Carefully remove one block from any level and move it to the top of the tower. To win, be the last person to stack a block on top without making the tower tumble.
Okay, that sounds pretty easy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to switch things up a little bit. You and I are not going to use our dominant hand. We're going to use our weak hand.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to make it a little bit more difficult. I'll let you go first. So I guess the idea is remove a block and set it on top.
I have to use my right hand.
Because you're left-handed, right?
Yes.
Oh, look at this guy go. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay, I'll do this one right here. Oh, all right. That was close. There we go. All right. Your turn, Richard. Don't sneeze. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Where do I even start? I'm going to make it tricky for him. There we go. All right. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Look at Richard trying to be sneaky. Oh. Look what I did there. Yeah. All right. Let's see what Mr. Mechanical Engineer can do here. He's analyzing right now, even as we speak. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I don't think I can top. Okay, I think I'm done for. Say a prayer for me, please. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Richard, I think you got me. Well, let's see here. Yes, there we go. This is heart-pounding drama in church this morning. Look at him analyze every piece. Oh! All right. Thank you, Richard, for being a good sport. And next time we'll do 2 out of 3, okay? Thank you so much. What an interesting game, huh? Thank you, Richard. What a good guy he is. Thank you. Yes. Well, this game of skill and good hands is a reminder to us that God is building his church. And yes, there are times that the devil is going to try and poke and prod at the church and try to get us to crumble, right? And there are times that we as the church fall short and we're not as faithful as we should be. And we all know that the culture dislikes the church and would love to see the church dismantled and broken. But God is building his church and it will never topple. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen? Now, if you know your New Testament, who was it that Jesus said those words to? Jesus was talking to Peter. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I want us to look at these verses together, because this passage in Matthew 16 is important in helping us understand and appreciate what Peter is getting at in our passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. So turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." You are Peter, Petros in Greek, meaning stone or rock. Jesus looked at Peter, even with all his flaws and shortcomings and human frailties, and Jesus says to him, "I'm going to use you to build my church." Well, Peter obviously never forgot what Jesus said to him. I mean, how could you forget something like that? And many years later, Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, the one who's building his church, his community, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So get this. Just as Jesus looked at Peter and said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," Peter is saying to those who will follow Jesus that we are living stones And God is building his church through you and me. And if you're like me, you're probably thinking to yourself, whoa, I am way too underqualified for this gig. I mean, who am I? Who are we that God would choose us? God wants to use us, according to 1 Peter 2:5. God wants to use us to be living stones, to be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you're like me, I'm feeling way, way too underqualified that God would use me. But now would be a good time to remind us of how God loves to use imperfect, unqualified people. And he does so all throughout the Bible to accomplish his purposes. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer. Oh, and by the way, he was a murderer as well. Elijah was depressed. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha was a worrywart. The Samaritan woman was a Samaritan, which was not a good thing, and was divorced multiple times. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was a religious zealot. And last but not least, Lazarus was dead. This is one of my favorite lists because it's a powerful reminder to me and to us that God doesn't use perfect stones, and he doesn't use qualified stones, and God certainly doesn't need stones who are full of themselves. God uses imperfect, messed up, non-qualified people who come to him in all of our brokenness and humility and humanity, and one by one, God uses us to build a spiritual house that is bigger than what any of us can do on our own. And I just want to remind us this morning what kind of spiritual house God is building. First, the spiritual house that God is building is divine. What God is building through you and me and through believers around the globe is no ordinary building or institution or movement like we've seen in history or see even today. God's house, God's church is divine. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate in John chapter 18? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." God's kingdom, of which the church plays a significant part, is of divine origins, not an earthly one. Yes, he's building his church here on earth, and yes, it's for the salvation of the earth, but God's spiritual house is of divine origins. And the implications of that is that the church doesn't function like other institutions, and we shouldn't. And we don't operate on the wisdom of this world, but rather according to the wisdom of God. We are not motivated by the things of this world. Rather, we ought to be singularly motivated by the things of God. And so not only is the spiritual house that God is building divine, but it is also eternal. God is using us to build something that will last forever. Now think about this with me. What Jesus started 2,000 years ago, think about this, 2,000 years ago, and what the Holy Spirit empowered at Pentecost is still going strong 2,000 years later. And if you study church history and you realize all the things the church has gone through in 2,000 years, wars, persecutions, schisms, hostility, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It is a miracle. It is truly a miracle that not only has the church encompassed the entire globe as it has and is making the impact that it is making, but has lasted as long as it has and is still going strong. Sure, churches close as all churches have a life cycle, but as one church shuts down over there, another church starts up over here. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The spiritual house that God is building, using the likes of you and me, is eternal. I also want to say this about the spiritual house that God is building. It is priestly. Peter says here in verse 5 that we are a holy priesthood. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, the priest who was set apart from the people would offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. He acted as the mediator between God and the people. It was a distinct role and function. It was a privilege to do so. But now with the church, with the spiritual house that God is building, each of us are now a holy priesthood. Each of us directly offer our sacrifices to God, and that sacrifice is us. Paul says in Romans 12:1 that our true and proper worship is when we offer our bodies, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And so when Tim and all the worship team utilize their gifts in leading us into worship, they are functioning as a holy priesthood as they offer themselves and their gifts as a living sacrifice to God. When you give of yourself and utilize the gifts and abilities that God has given you, whether it be in prayer or teaching or giving or serving or evangelizing or counseling or healing or helping, and the list goes on and on and on, when you offer yourself in service to the Lord, you are functioning as a holy priesthood as you offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so this spiritual house that God is building is priestly in that we don't do what we do for ourselves. We do what we do because we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. This is what the Bible says is true and proper worship. This is Father's Day. We honor our fathers, and it's kind of a manly day, and men love to build stuff. And I'm so grateful for the guys in our church who are always helping around the church. You've got the tools, you've got the know-how, you've got the experience and expertise, and I really do appreciate all that you do around the church. Back in January, I set aside an entire week, Monday through Saturday, all day from morning into the evening, to build what is now the Joyful Grind. I've never built an espresso coffee bar before, so this was all new to me, but I did a lot of research, and I did a lot of planning, and I talked a lot with Kaylee about what she wanted, and got all the wood and supplies and materials we needed, got all the tools that would be needed, and of course I had to buy some new tools, always an excuse to buy new tools. And finally, one early Monday morning, I just started. And I haven't told this story to many people, but before I started on that Monday morning, I stood right out there and I just said a prayer. And my prayer went something like this. I said, God, I really need your help as I go to build this, because this is for you and it's for the ministry, and I just really need your help to guide me. And I kid you not, and I haven't told this to many people because I don't know who would believe me, but as I started measuring and using the circular saw to make cuts and the drill to screw the screws and the hammer to hammer the nails, I literally felt God's presence, His divine presence, guiding my hand, helping me with the cuts and the saws and the hammering. It was really surreal. And I started the day on Tuesday morning with prayer, and again, I'm telling you, I felt God's presence literally helping me build that coffee bar. And I started the day on Wednesday morning, and again, I prayed, and everything went flawlessly, and I really had no issues at all. All until Thursday morning. I started on Thursday morning, and I went to hammer a nail, and it was the first time that as I went to hammer that nail, I must have hit it wrong, and the nail bent. And I was like, what in the world is happening? And then it dawned on me that I didn't begin the project Thursday morning in prayer, asking for God's help like I had the previous days, and it was the first time that something went wrong. And I said, oh God, I'm sorry. I didn't begin the day in prayer specifically for this project. I really do need your help. God, please help me. And as I got back to working on the project, I had that feeling again, that sense that God really was with me, actually hammering and sawing and cutting and actually building through me. It's a true story. And what Peter is saying here is that we are not the ones building this spiritual house. But it is Christ, the chosen and precious cornerstone, who is building this spiritual house through us. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, Peter is quoting Isaiah 28:16 in a messianic prophecy where the prophet Isaiah says of Christ, hundreds of years before Jesus even arrived on the scene, Isaiah says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, and Jesus was tested, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. What is a cornerstone? And why is Christ referenced as the cornerstone? Well, the cornerstone is the first stone set in the construction of a foundation. So if we were to build a tower with these blocks, and if we were to start from scratch, first thing you would need to do is build a solid foundation. And the cornerstone is the first and most important stone in order to build that solid foundation. And we all know just how important a solid foundation is, right? If you've been watching what's been happening in Yellowstone National Park and all the flooding that's been taking place there because of the heavy rains, it's heartbreaking to see the foundations being eroded. And maybe you've seen footage of homes being swept away into the raging Yellowstone River. It's harrowing to watch. But the cornerstone is the first and most important stone laid in the foundation. And as the first stone is set, it becomes the reference point for all the other stones to be laid. Everything finds its definition, its positioning, in reference to that cornerstone. And Christ is this cornerstone of the spiritual house that God is building. And we as living stones are built in reference around Christ and because of Christ. And the scriptures say this of this prophecy, the one who trusts in him, Jesus, will never be put to shame. Do you trust in Jesus? Do you trust this word? Do you trust that he is the cornerstone and has been the cornerstone for over 2,000 years and will forever be the cornerstone? The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. The psalmist David says in Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Jesus said in John 14:1, trust in God, trust also in me. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:7, to you who believe, that's the title of my message this morning, to you who believe, this stone is precious. To you who believe, God is using you and Christ is building his divine, eternal, and priestly spiritual house through you. To you who believe, you have eternal life. To you who believe, you are a child of God. To you who believe, you have been adopted into the family of God. To you who believe, you have the promise of heaven. To you who believe, you are a co-heir with Christ. To you who believe, you are promised the new heaven and the new earth in the glorious and loving presence of God forever. To you who believe, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. To you who believe, keep on believing and don't lose heart. And to those who do not believe, guess what? God is still going to do his thing. God will not be deterred by unbelievers. Jesus is still going to be the cornerstone. God is still going to build his spiritual house, even though there are those who don't believe, and God will still be God. And to those of you who do believe, look with me at 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is our identity. This, the promise and declaration of 1 Peter 2:9, is what defines us. This is who we are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is your identity. This is who you are in Christ. And I say, thanks be to God.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.